see, we talked about Sunday night about God's apps. And what do we say about apps? They don't work unless you use them. You can have an app tell you how many calories you're supposed to be using, but if you go over that by 1,000 calories, it didn't do you any good. And I share with you about Vanessa, right? There she sits. She's got an app that wakes you up in the morning. Except when hers goes off, she don't get up. And so, there you go. But I apologize because, no, I don't. Because you usually don't, do you? But here's what I know. Apps only work if you want. Use them. And the word app means what? Application. And so God has gave you a iPhone, so to speak, of apps. This thing is full of application that will help you in your life. I've got apps on my phone. I don't know how they got there. I don't even know what they are, and I'm afraid to touch some of them because I don't know what they might do. So they're just on my phone. I move past them, but they're there. And I'm afraid sometimes our Bible is just like that. Do you think so? So I'm going to read you an app tonight. It's found in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Now really, I'd like to just preach from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, because I like talking about that stuff. But we're going to talk about this app tonight. Romans chapter 12, I'll get my thing on so I can move with you a little bit. And I want you to drop all the way down. You know where we're going, right? Verse 19. Romans 12, 19. I like verse 18, though. Can I read it? If it be possible. I like when stuff starts that way. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Don't y'all like that? If it's possible. We'll find out if it's possible or not in a minute. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And when I began to study this, I got to thinking, I kind of like that. Because I'm talking about the God who created the world, who made the earth open up and swallow people at times. Amen. He grounded some. He can make a big fish to swallow one if he needs to. I mean, I'm talking about that God. And God says, let me have wrath on the people that you want me to have wrath on. That's how I translated that anyway. What it sounds like to me, let me read it with you one more time. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give a place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. I like this part. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I've always pictured lonely people walking around with a bunch of hot coals and their hair smoking, and I'm thinking, that's my job. I want you to know that God's wrath is on you. Verse 21. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, thank you so much for what you've done with these two young ladies and how they've blessed our hearts. And Lord, as we enter into a subject that's very, very important, Lord, help us tonight to be able to understand what it is that we're reading. Help us not just to understand, Lord, I pray that you'll help us apply it. No matter who it is that maybe needs to apply it. Thank you for what you've showed me as well. In Christ's name, amen. Here's what I want to share with you for a few minutes tonight. First of all, I'm going to ask you a question. What does the word vengeance or revenge mean? Okay, that's pretty much what the dictionary says. To pay someone back for a wrong they have done to you. That sounds good to everybody? Now, I begin to think of ways that we have vengeance or revenge. And so, I'm just going to give you a scenario. Y'all can kindly give me an eyebrow if this has ever happened to you. Has anybody ever done you wrong, first of all? Have you ever imagined or dreamed about walking up to that person. And I mean, just pouring it on. I mean, you've been thinking for the words. You've got the words memorized. And you found the person. This is in your dream or your imagination. And you find the person. And you begin to roll. And I mean, you begin to let them have it. Some of your friends walk up. And they begin to cheer you on. And then before you finally really gave the nail in the coffin, you just gave them up and walked off. Anybody? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Y'all just kind of look at me and say, maybe. Had thoughts. But preacher, thoughts are different than doing. You know, some of us have had murderous thoughts. Some of you getting that look like this morning at 5 o'clock, I woke up and I thought, I'm going to go get a shining spotlight in the field below the barn. And I did like that, and these two deer just went. And that's exactly what I just saw. Just like. So, I'm thinking, how do we show vengeance and revenge? And I don't become a... Sometimes we hold a grudge. There's a lot of people that will hold a grudge and everything they do in their life with the people that they got a grudge against, every decision they make is always based upon what happened. And so they never really move past there because they really never moved past and it's still fresh and it's still alive. You've ever scratched the scab off and bleeds again? And you know what? I really believe this. I think you can have an injury 5 years ago, physically, and I think if you keep pulling that scab off, I think it keeps bleeding. I think spiritually, I think the same stuff happens. And I think those people, whoever it is, because revenge and vengeance is always for the person. They got a name and they got a face. And I think sometimes when we want revenge, we will just hold a grudge. And I think sometimes, and I've seen this with people, some people, when they have a vengeance or revenge with somebody, they belittle them in a crowd. They say chopping words at them. They say things that kind of chops them up a little bit. I'm going to ask you this question because when I was reading and studying, let me tell you what I stumbled across. I think the guy would might be wrong, but God really worked on me on this. Sometimes the way we show revenge or vengeance is we separate ourselves from them. And I read that some people actually have like a little switch in their head that says, I'm done with you. And I'm going to tell you all an honest secret. If you have done me wrong at least 3 times, my little switches went off and I've said, I'm done with you. I'm not going to belittle you. I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm just going to distance myself from you. You try to make conversation by texting or email, I probably won't respond. I'll just ignore. Let me ask y'all a question. Do you think that's revenge? I think it is. And I began to read this and I got to thinking, you know what, God? I've got a lot of people and I'm done with you. Room. Kind of like build a room. And there's been a lot of people in my life, I say a lot, they've been several, that I have just been done with you. I'm not going to say nothing about you. I'm not going to belittle you. I'm not going to make any problems with you. I'm just done with you. And there's people sitting right here just like me. And there's people sitting right here, you're saying, what's the problem with that? I really
really don't see a problem with that. That's why I want you to think about these verses a little bit with me tonight. Because see, whether you understand it or not, every one of us has a revenge and vengeance problem. Every one of us has a forgiveness problem to a point. You say, preacher, I've never done, I'm done with you kind of thing. But I want you to think about that. Has anybody here ever done that? Anybody just ever kind of just separate yourself from that person? They keep trying to come back in your life and you're just like, we're not going back there again. Been there, done that. Flip the switch, you're in the room. Stay in the room. So I'm going to give you, I made an outline that's really crazy. I'm going to give it to you. First of all, I want you to write the word hurt. Because if you've ever been hurt, I'm talking to you tonight. So I'm just going to hold the audience today. You that's sitting here, have you ever been hurt? Raise your hand if you've been hurt. Alright. I'm pretty much across the board. I've been hurt. Now I want you to understand that it's okay to be hurt. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. So God, in the Sermon on the Mount, actually dealt with being hurt. Now I'm going to agree with you, there's a lot of people who's hurt in a lot of bad ways. Some of you have been hurt in a lot deeper way than I've ever been hurt. I think about the little Hawkinsmith boy, girl. They've been hurt in a big way. I don't want life to have my parents murdered. And tonight they have the rest of the person that has done that. And the very last I'm giving you tonight is going to be a very big part of their life and their family's life and people in this community's life. What do we do with somebody who's hurt us like that? I've read to you in Romans that God says vengeance is what? Mine. Not yours, but God's, right? That's what I have read. But now all of a sudden, yeah, but this is different. But I want you to know something. It's not different. There's young people who's been abused by parents. They've been abused by family members. They've been abused in a lot of different ways. And I'm telling you something. That's not fair. But it happens. And I'm telling you, if that's happened to you, God is saying, you can't have vengeance. You cannot want revenge. You can't hold a grudge. You can't flip a switch and say, I'm done with you. Because that's not God how He wants you to handle that. There's all kinds of things that happen that hurts people. Now, I got to think, what's a good illustration to help me draw my line out here? So here's my illustration. On 911, I stopped by the Mounce's house, and I seen what was taking place. I'm on my way to the airport. I stopped by there. We talked about what's going on. And it was just a really scary thing. And you know what? From police looking this way is very hurtful to see what my country was going through. And a lot of us were hurt as a result of someone taking innocent life. Were we hurt? And you know the next thing that comes after hurt is war. We're ready to fight. We're ready to get even. I mean, the country music singers wrote songs. We cheered. Let's get them. I'm ready. I'll fly a plane if you want me to. Don't know nothing about it, but let me do something. Right? Because we were hurt. And when we have hurt, all of a sudden, we want to make war. And so, when vengeance comes to our mind, the first thing that comes after I've been hurt is I want to fight somebody. I want to have war. So, with the Lord's help, I got these three letters from the word war. The word W. You can write this down. You better wrestle with this first. Before you just go out there and respond to what has happened to you, you better wrestle with this first. What I mean by wrestle with it? I mean you better think it over. You better roll this thing over in your mind. You better really think about what you're thinking about. The second thing I wrote down was for the letter A. I wrote down, you better get some advice. You know, people come to my office all the time and I talk to them. And, you know, especially when it's been some part of the relationship's been unfaithful. You know what the thoughts are? I can't tell you what the thoughts are because it's bad. I had a woman tell me one time, she said, "Preacher, if a Mack truck hit him and killed him, it'd probably be the happiest day of my life." Now, I don't think anybody in this room, because this is the church with the halo over the top of it, so I don't think anybody in this room has ever had a thought, anything like that in nature. But you know what? While you're wrestling with what you want to do, you better get some advice. Now, tell you what the psalmist said. Psalms 1:1. "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, or standeth in the way of sinners." I want you to look at me tonight and understand this. The advice that the world gives you, the advice that your buddies at work give you, the advice that your girlfriends give you, is probably not godly advice. Because anytime you're getting that advice, I promise you, revenge is part of it. You know, the country music song will knock both headlights out. Y'all with me? Cut up the seeds. Oh, we don't listen to that secular music. I know you don't, but you know people who do, and they probably told you a song and you heard, right? Look at you. Yeah, I got a cousin who's in that job. Yeah, I'm right here with you, and I'm understanding. But I want you to know something. You better get some advice. You better get some godly advice. Because that's the kind of advice that will help you. Now, the letter R I put down as respond. That you wrestled with it, Doug, and now you've got some advice. Now it's time to respond. You say, "Well, preacher, really? I thought this whole idea of revenge was not to respond." That's what I've been doing, brother. Not responding. But don't you. Don't purr. You're in a little closet with everybody else. Join in. Because I'm done. Don't bother you. Don't have to worry about me showing up and making you nervous and causing you to feel weird because I'm here. Because I am done. Anybody? Am I preaching to myself? Thank you, Tisa. I got one. Me and Tisa. Y'all pray for us, okay? Y'all remember us in your prayers tonight before you go to bed. I want you to know tonight, I have an answer. God's answer. I've read this. I've thought about this. So let me show you how I'm going to give you the answer. Two places I want you to read with me, and then I'll explain the answer when we go home. Go with me to Matthew 26, verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39. Few hours before Jesus is going to be crucified, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays. He says this. He went a little further, verse 39, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will." Go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians 2. I could quote them to you, but I want to read them to you. Philippians 2. Verse 8. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of what?
The cross.
The cross." Preacher, what do I do? How do I respond? the white flag for, Thurston?
Surrender.
I'm done. I'm tired of putting people in a room and I'm done with you. I'm tired of distancing myself from people because I don't want to deal with them. And you know that Jesus Himself, in the Garden of Gethsemane, He wrestled with that. He wrestled with that. He prayed, Brother Thurston, Lord, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. Was He wrestling with that? He absolutely was. But you know what He did? He said, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Surrender what? I surrender this vengeance. I surrender my will. See, we were taught to pray, Thy kingdom come. Y'all heard it before, right? Thy will be done. Everything that's supposed to be with you and I today is supposed to be about His will. So, go back with me now and read Romans 12, knowing what I just told you. And let me explain it to you, you can go. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Look at me. He already has. No. Preacher, this is new. What happened to them and what their children are facing today? It's fresh, it's new. And I say, I know it's fresh and new to you, but it's not to God. He doesn't pay for that. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. You know what God did? He took His Son, who was willing to surrender, and what? He put all the hate that you have, all the I'm done with you, all of that, all the grudges you've got, He put them all on His Son Jesus, and He crucified Him. So you don't have to do this. So you don't have to walk around done. Doesn't walk around. I can just picture myself driving that truck. So you don't have to deal with that. He paid it for you. How many of us tonight? We need to apply this out. Because we've been packing some stuff around and we really didn't know we was packing. How many of you have got the room with the people in there? You know what? I'm letting them out. Well, how are you going to deal with it? I'm not going to deal with it. He's done dealt with it. I am to forgive the like Christ has forgiven me. God, for Christ's sake, is how He said it, has forgiven me. He's already done it. Thurston, what am I doing walking around here? Don't you? What am I doing that for? Makes no sense. Look how He closes, and we'll have an invitation. Therefore, if any of thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. We've talked about that 1,000 times. All this is going to do is cause those people to do what? Maybe realize who Jesus Christ is. I read a story this week, and I'd love for you to get the book. It's called Unchained, right? Unbroken. And it's about a story about a man that was in World War II, but before he ever was in World War II, he was an Olympic runner. 1936, he finished fifth in the Olympics. His name is Zeffirini. And you can Google this when you get out of here. Zeffirini ran in Germany, and Hitler loved him. He thought this guy, the reason he loved him because he finished strong. He didn't win the race, he didn't get a medal, but he finished strong. And so Hitler shook his hand, and this old man tells that story. But in the 40 Olympics, they were canceled because of the war. And so he signed up to go fight in the war. And when he signed up to go fight in the war, they put him on a bomber. And so he's over in the South Pacific, he's in a plane, he's got shot down. Him and a pilot and another man survived 40 days in the water. They ate fish, they drank rainwater, and as soon as they got to land, they were captured and put in a prison war camp. And Douglas MacArthur has recorded that this prison camp was the worst prison camp ever in the history of prison camps during that time. Worst one. So he's in there. The man that's in charge of being and all that, he recognizes this guy as being a U.S. Olympic runner. And because of that, they really go to town beating him. They beat him every day. They took belt buckles and they broke both jaws on his face. I mean, they just battered this man to death. And while he was in his cell, he said, well, this sounds like a spiritual thing. Well, just listen. While he's in his cell, he said, God, if you will spare me, if you won't let me get killed, I'll give you my life. It wasn't long that he was released. The war was over. But instead of giving God his life, he began to drink alcohol. He began to fight. He began to have anger issues. They called it post-war syndrome. He had all kinds of problems. He saw like nothing worked. He married a woman. He beat her. She got saved. This is in Los Angeles in 1949. She got saved in a Billy Graham crusade meeting. She tried to get her husband there. Finally, the last night of the tent meeting, got him there. He accepted Christ. In 1958, he went back to Japan. And he got permission to go to that prison camp because all those prison guards were now war prisoners. He got permission to go in there and tell them he forgives them. But the one that broke his jaw with the belt buckle, he could not find him. And they said, where is he at? And they said, he's probably committed suicide by now. Nobody's been able to find him. CNN in 1999 found the man alive. Been hiding all those years. Since 1940 to 1999, had been in hiding. They found him. They interviewed him. And they told Zeffirelli that we found your guy. He said, I want to go meet the guy. And the guy said, absolutely not. I don't want to meet him. So in 2009, Zeffirelli wrote a letter. That's what this book's all about. In the letter, he told the guy that what you did to me ruined my life for many years. I beat my wife. I was an alcoholic. And all I thought about was how you treated me. I'm treating others just like that. And take it out on other people for what you did to me. But he said, I found Christ. And he said, I hate it that you wouldn't talk to me. So here's what I want you to know. I forgive you. And I hope that you become a Christian. You know what? You do good. And he said, well, tell us more. Did that guy become a Christian? As of now, he has not. He's still alive. This old man, you can YouTube, you can see him read that letter. He read that letter. And they've got it recorded him reading. He's 97 years old, reading that letter. And I'm telling you what, you don't see any ill, any hatred, or anything in his face or in his voice. Because he knows that vengeance is God's. And God has already paid it. So what do I need to do? I need to forgive and go on. And do good. Not so I can make them mad. But do good because that's what I'm supposed to do, Greg, is do good. Do you have a closet with some people in it? You distance yourself? You have a grudge? Here's what I want you to know tonight. It's not doing you any good except it's ruining your life. See, I told you that hurt causes war, and war causes one of two things, life or death. Oh, that's what war does. Some will live and some will die. I'm going to tell you this tonight. If you're in this war of vengeance and revenge, you might not physically die, but part of you will. You'll harden your heart. You'll have bitterness and anger. And because of all that, part of you is dying. Here's what God says. You want to live? Wave the white flag. Surrender. And you can live a life free of guilt, revenge, remorse for Him. Here's the deal. It's now. It's like on your phone. It's here. You can apply it. You can apply it right now tonight. Or you can just leave it there. Because that's no good unless you apply it. What's it there for? So maybe tonight, you and God need to have a talk. Depends on preacher's life. Because preachers had to have a talk already. That's why I'm preaching tonight. Because God and I have talked for a little while. And we've let some people out. They're out there now. And actually I've been around some of them. It's okay. They're not done with you anymore. So preacher said, it's really not that easy, Joe. Seriously, it's not that easy. But you know what? I really believe it works.
Yeah.
And if you're going to make it, you're going to make this Christian life work for you, then you've got to apply the Word. Because that's what works. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, Lord, I pray that You'll help us tonight. Maybe this has not been the best Wednesday night encouraging message that people have come to hear tonight, but Lord, it's the message that we probably really need to hear tonight. Because Lord, we live in a world where people hurt us. And the thoughts of getting even, they're right there. Lord, it's simple tonight. Whatever way that we show our revenge and our anger, our unforgiveness to somebody, whether it's just dissing ourselves or holding a grudge or maybe even belittling, Lord, I pray simply tonight that You'll help us to walk out of here and do what we need to do. Help us right now during this invitation to respond to it. For it's in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Joe, play something.